Yo, Vegas lights shine bright, bad boys sitting pretty. Michael, Steve, Rob running things in Sin City. Podcast blazing truth, rhyming hard and witty. Three kings on the mic, Vegas life gets gritty. Matt Michaels dropping bombs, quick wit, no filter. Sin City's own, blending gold with the silver. Steve taking notes, every word's a thriller. Rob's on the tracks, beats cold like a chiller. Bad boys a podcast, raw truth they broadcast. Speaking facts so fast, haters coming dead last. Las Vegas legends, three amigos, top class. Mic in hand, setting fire, never outclassed.
Hey everybody, Matt Michaels, Sin City Steve, and Rob Bustleri here on the Vegas Bad Boys of Podcasting. Gentlemen, it has been a very interesting week in pro wrestling, starting with the WWE releases. Okay.
I'm not getting released, am I?
No, not yet.
Hey, Rob, actually, after the show, if you could just hang around for a little bit, I got to talk to you.
Actually, Steve. Rob's contract.
I've got fuzzy slippers.
Rob's contract is still affordable, but Steve, we need to talk a little bit about restructuring your deal. you're getting to be Kevin Owens, money range here, and
he looks like him a little too.
Yeah, it was one thing to look like him, but now to get paid like him, holy shit, you're fucking.
Yeah.
29 names have been released so far this year. We got a huge list here. We'll get to Cora Jade and we'll get to Braun Strowman in a little bit.
Vinci,
go first with your first reaction, Steve.
So my first reaction to all of this is it's a massive downsizing, but the thing to keep in mind is they are making a lot of moves this year. Obviously, as of recently, the acquisition of AAA, which contrary to whatever you might think, some people are saying is not a 100% done deal, yet everything is being cross-promoted as such. So that just shoots a hole right into that theory. But regardless, that shit's happening. So thus, they're getting rid of... what was it? Damn near 30 people off the roster. And no one is safe. No one is safe. If you look down at, up and down this list.
Well, wait, hold on. No one is safe is definitely not true. There are absolutely safe people.
If you are on the main roster with an established gimmick and creative actually has something for you, then you don't have anything to worry
about. Some of these names I'm actually surprised.
Likewise, they're basically gutting the women's tag team division entirely. This is something that's happened across the board with both batches of the releases. That's definitely one thing that stands out.
Well, it's always easy to form new tag teams. So, with the women, because they're women's tag team is not like men's tag team, right? You get rid of one person and pretty deadly is pretty much dead. So, but if you get rid of, Gigi Dolin, Tatum Paxton, he is fine on her own. Okay. So Rob, you said some of these names are,
some of them are surprising that you have not seen them in forever, like Carmella. You have not seen her in any kind of real capacity.
No.
But you always think to yourself, were they on extended leave? Were they just working house shows?
She wasn't working anything. She was right at home. She left because she got pregnant.
Right.
And they just decided at that point to not renew her once her contract was up. They didn't have anything creatively for her. Listen, Corey Graves didn't make this list. So, it is circumstances and it is also, necessity, right? And they still have a necessity for Corey Graves, or else I think he would have made this list.
Right now, I mean, we've already spoken about him being the third wheel on NXT. Gallows on here and Carl Anderson, they could go anywhere. They can go anywhere. I'd like to see them on AEW and interfere as some sort of pseudo Bullet Club, you know, henchman, and they can do that same gimmick on TNA. So they're just fine. Gigi Dolan, they were hyping up big with the NXT TNA crossovers, and that was like fresh. It was like, wait, you're using her right now. So TNA bound, I would assume.
Absolutely.
Paul Ellering, fuck out of here. Didn't give a shit with the with this new iteration of him. They didn't use him right. They didn't have him talk. They just had him sit there and look like an extra with wonky glasses. He didn't contribute this iteration around. Acom and the other ones from the the Gates of Agony, another group. I could not care less about
Gates. Gates of Agony are in a different company, brother.
I know. I immediately caught myself. Yeah, but that's the thing. It's another one of these groups you don't even – they looked idiotic the first time around, and they looked silly the second time. Again, that's another conversation as to the key guy of that group that they are still not using right, as we just saw Raw. He wasn't there again. We'll get to that conversation. But some of these people, Shayna Baszler, that's a shame. She had all of the ability – and she had decent mic skills. I just feel like, I don't know if they iced her or they felt they gave her the opportunities and they couldn't work her.
She never caught on the main roster. If we were going according to what she did in NXT and use that as the sample size, then that would be the argument for sure. On the main roster, she just did not get
when over. When she was paired up with Nia Jax, I think that was the best she was, where you had their two egos. You had the heavy and the submission, you know, machine. Great. She should not have been a henchman. She was far too talented. I think she needed a hook or some sort of catchphrases, something to dial it in.
Here's the problem, though. If you take her, right, then you have to take away top spots. This is the thing that always gets me with these releases. Yeah, she was great in NXT. For the time that she was in there, she was the person to be that champ in that style. Same with Asuka, right? You know, when you're in NXT, you have a window based around that small talent around you because none of that talent is top talent. When you get called up to the main roster, the game fucking changes. It's very simple.
Asuka used it, ran with it, and the gimmick on Asuka was she was unbeatable. Then you did the Charlotte Flair match with her, and everything changes, and Asuka still finds a way to stay relevant.
But it's not Asuka finding a way to stay relevant. It's creative finding a way for Asuka to stay relevant.
That's a combination of things because you still have to be able to execute. You can sit there. Taking it from a comedian, I have a gimmick by which I impersonate people. Now, if the comedy club does not like that gimmick, then I don't get to perform no matter how good I am at it. If she has a gimmick that works in one and doesn't in the other, or if the writers cannot figure out how to make her, she has to deliver with that.
But the one difference is that you as the comedian are not being told by the comedy club do something else. If you are, then you got to adjust and do something else.
That's it. But sometimes they could, I mean, think about the famous Roman Reigns saying suffer and succotash. Okay. That was idiotic. And that was something that he was told to say. And anyone could have told you before, no hindsight, that was stupid. So she found a way to stay relevant along with their writing. We look at, given an example right now, do you like the last title run that they had for Shinsuke Nakamura where he's like a samurai now? Is that something that you think is worked for him?
I don't really care about Shinsuke Nakamura.
There. That's the idea. Was written for him. But you don't care about it.
No, but I've not cared about him for the longest time. right?
So that comes to my point full circle, which is you have to find a way to keep yourself relevant, and or you don't have LA Knight. You still have a fucking Max Dupree running around in the indies, or maybe Eli Drake again.
It's not him keeping himself relevant. It's him being given the right opportunity and the right person to go against to get that over, right? The fact of the matter is that Shinsuke Nakamura is a great wrestler, right? But he's also a Japanese wrestler who they finally found something by using the subtitles.
The subtitles.
To give him a promo that he can be emotional and then you read it, right? That's great. But the problem is that Shinsuke Nakamura is not Roman Reigns. He's not CM Punk. He's not Seth Rollins. You know, this is, you're talking hierarchy, and this is the thing that always gets lost, is that there's only so far you can go. He's not even Kevin Owens, right? He's just below Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens and Jey Uso, who's now up on the next level. Jimmy Uso is not up on the next level.
I guess my thing with some of the talent that was bounced, if someone says, okay, CM Punk is going to do a 15-minute promo, half of it's going to be a shoot, you're not going to question that, fair?
Right.
All right. If some of these people had the opportunity to have their Austin 316 moment, don't know how that would have come about with some of these names. Some of them could have done it. I think some of them had that capability if you paired them up with the right person.
Who?
Now, some...
Who? Look at this list.
Shayna Baszler and Sonya Deville both. Jakara Jackson definitely had a chance.
Jakara Jackson couldn't even get out of the shadow of Lash Legend, and that's a huge shadow, by the way.
We don't know. We don't know.
That's why they need to be released, is because they either didn't prove it, or in the case of Shayna and Sonya, very simple. Their salaries are too high to keep them going at this level. So get rid of those.
I get it for a lot of the names on there, but there's a few of the names on there that you go an inch in the other direction and something good happens. But for the most part, yeah. Rezar, again, he's a look. He's a cardboard cutout.
Let's do this. Do you know who Riley Osborne is?
No, that one.
Okay, there you go.
Yeah, and I'm agreeing with some of these names.
Do you know who Duke Hudson is?
Mm-mm.
Okay.
So and I'm not saying it's wrong. I'm saying the majority of, but there's a few of them on there that there are head scratchers, and there's other ones. If you have to
definitely send them, are. There now, definitely are some fucking head scratchers on that list.
Now,
Dakota Kai, can we start with the obvious thing on that list, please? Jesus.
Yeah, go ahead.
Dakota Kai is a very, very skilled, member of the roster. And obviously, a couple of days ago, she posted some cryptic stuff to her social media, almost as if she knew that something was going to happen. We definitely haven't seen the last of her. And she will be on a roster within, if I'm presuming that she's going to have the 90-day no compete. So, you know, in 90 days, we'll see her on maybe a TNA roster, maybe an AEW roster, even a Stardom roster.
Right.
Is NWA still a thing?
Yeah, NWA is a thing, but it's not really a thing. It's not a big thing. MLW would be probably more
the next
attractive. Both of those are. But Japan aside, because Japan, any one of these people could go over there and potentially be, you know, elevated to a star because of what they run. But the question becomes, Dakota Kai, is she any better than Ruby Soho? That's the question. So you go over to an AEW or go over to a TNA. And TNA, I think you have a little more wiggle room because of just how they utilize the talent there. But again, I mean, I look at AEW, and the thing is that there is one big butt plug up there on the women's division right now who's carrying all around these fucking titles, and is really just kind of screwing over some of the fucking other people, right? And Toni Storm is one of your top people. Toni Storm is the exception to the rule, right? One of the few people who've come over from WWE who is on that level that didn't make it to that next level, but she found a character. Everyone else, you can't point and go, oh yeah, well, Saraya fucking exploded, and she was a big name coming over.
I could definitely make the case for Swerve.
Well, yeah,
Swerve is probably the biggest fumble if we want to look at fumbles on both sides.
Sure, absolutely. Sure. I'm talking the women right there.
Okay.
Gotcha. Just because you brought up Dakota Kai, right?
Completely.
So, you know, my thing is, does Dakota Kai being placed into that atmosphere make it any further than where she was right now? That's the big question. And I always have the question with these releases of that.
But here's my question. When she showed up as part of Damage Control, and I said, again, as a guy who does not invest in NXT, who is she? She's got these chicken legs. She looks like if she takes one bump, she's going to be snapped in half. And she was injured two or three major times in her run with Damage Control. What is she really contributing to a group of women that all speak Japanese and Bayley? And when Bayley was gone, she had even less of a place on that. So now she's showing herself with this curly hair, and she goes, this is what I really look like. And it gets me right back to where I began. I'm going to say it again. If you let some of these people be themselves, you might have had more. If she was able to just show up without the straight hair and feel a little bit more comfortable in her skin.
But is she going to replace Tiffany Stratton, Charlotte Flair, Becky Lynch?
But we don't know, because they made these choices.
No, but she could very well replace a Dr. Britt Baker.
Exactly.
Because we know that is going to happen. Right. Yeah, it's all about just finding the right fit. And the thing is, this could very well be one of the best things to happen to somebody on this list. Let's rewind. Think about this for a minute. I know you hate him, Michaels. I know, but Drew McIntyre, okay? He got brought up. He was the chosen one. Yada, yada, gets Future Endeavor. He hit the indies and totally reestablished himself.
Sure.
Plugged himself back into the top of the card in WWE. And he's been at the upper mid card to the main event ever since. Look at fucking Cody. Look at Cody Rhodes. Absolutely, exact same thing. Gets Future Endeavor. Does his thing. So who out of this crop is going to be the one to separate themselves and to reinvent themselves and to find lightning in a bottle and make themselves into a superstar?
Well, we all know it's going to be Wolfgang.
Oh, that's dude. Obvious. Hell yeah.
All right, so we're going to talk a little bit more about these releases because of this asshole here. So Dave Meltzer said the reason for WWE main roster and NXT releases, according to Dave Meltzer here, age and salary are reportedly the main reasons for WWE main roster releases. Essentially, quote, the cuts are being made because a lot of it has to do with guys and women getting up in age, and they're looking at people who they're not going to use well compared to their salary going forward. As for NXT releases,
full stop though, that's pretty legit. Full stop. That's pretty legit.
And any idiot could have fucking said that first part and been pretty accurate. But this, as for the NXT releases, were reportedly people who were perceived as, quote, not working hard in training, unquote. Many of those cut were perceived as not working hard in training. And if you don't work hard in training, there's so many people who do. At this point, if the feeling is you're not working hard in training, I saw the term lazy. The ones who are lazy are going to be gone. And the ones who didn't stand out are going to be gone. Well, Dave, you had a response here from Gigi Jolin, who said, when I wasn't traveling to work for either of the two companies I was working for, I trained very hard, 3 to 4 days a week, bumping my ass off and doing cardio drills with one of the best, toughest coaches I've worked with, and worked out every single day with live events every other weekend. So yeah, I don't want to hear this, LOL. The way my body feels says otherwise. And of course, Cora Jade, Elena Black now, said this, plus can't forget having to go on to my own gym outside of work after strength and conditioning that wasn't doing anything for me other than get me body shamed by my boss's coworkers and fans. Crazy. So two issues here. One, obviously, whoever fed Meltzer the NXT thing, this is why Dave is not a journalist, because he fucking should never have said that, period. That's the dumbest, laziest fucking reporting. The second thing is the body shaming. Interesting that it, of course, was Disco who would come out and say in response, welcome to the profession that you chose. Which is a hard way of saying, yeah, you're going to get body shamed. And you know what? It's not just the women. Remember Sheamus coming back and everyone going, yeah, holy shit.
Yeah. Right. He had a big gut and he was wearing green underwear. Not his regular ring gear. And I went, it looks like a guy with dye greened tighty whities and a gut. And I went, fuck, dude, that's, and now he was out tonight and he looked good.
Look great.
He looked good. Matt and Matt Jackson and them wearing the blazers. I mean, wearing the, you know,
yeah,
the freaking vest, because they had guts. That was it. Yep. They had bare bellies, Matt Jackson. All right. Not Nick. Nick takes care of himself. Matt got sloppy. But that's it. It comes with a guy. And of course, you know, Joe Hendry, little bit of love handles there. Yeah. And who's the other one? It looks like a stick figure from the Undisputed, whatever the fuck era name.
Bay, you know.
Adam Cole. And they even joke about him looking like a stick figure.
And Kyle O'Reilly for that point, too.
Well, no, Kyle O'Reilly's got freaking legs on there. He's all low. He's all leg strength. The way his physique is built out.
I think someone's got
Kyle O'Reilly. I'm being serious. Legs. Come on now. It's not like I said something like I want Kyle's O'Reilly's, whatever that would even mean. You know.
O'Reilly.
Yeah, hold on. But no, it comes for the men too.
Well, and hey, listen, we were just at a show 2 weeks ago in which, you know, people I was sitting with and friends were texting me, holy shit, did Sami Callihan eat the weight that you put off? Because he looked like me fucking 150 pounds ago.
Which is why I don't like to see him with a white button down shirt and a tie. I
was going to say, why was he wearing white?
Oh, because of the blood. That's
well, still, it's like, yeah, those two things don't.
But here's my thing: add up for recipes. Sami Callihan could get away with that. He could go out there looking like whatever the hell he wants. He's not going up to the main roster. He's not even going to go up to AEW.
But it was a shock factor to actually have people I know saying something like that. Was a shock. That's how shocked they were, because they hadn't really seen TNA or seen him for a while. And that was the what I'm getting at is that even though he doesn't have to be in the best shape, he still was in a shape that people were shocked about, which is interesting, right?
I didn't even care because I've been watching the product enough to see him over the last 3 years. And, you know, the one that blew people's minds was when Jericho was shown after an NBA game, and he is noticeably another 50 pounds heavier, wearing a black wife beater. And he can barely do a lion salt. It's like, oh, shit.
He was pregnant.
Yeah. Cool. You know, he looked like a pear, and that was it. And then he got shredded, and we could talk about Jericho, but it happens with the men too. It's not a misogyny trip. With the women, with some of these women who were being body shamed, I would never think that they were Cora Jade. Like, what? Right.
And especially...
Go ahead, and I think we can all safely say that Cora Jade's next move is OnlyFans.
There we go. So Cora Jade teasing joining OnlyFans. Cora Jade was released in WWE's latest rounds of cuts. Maybe
I'll release it for Cora Jade Jesus.
After her release, TNA wrestler Indy Hartwell replied to Jade on X, writing, "I only want to be your fan." With the words "only" and "fan" capitalized, Jade responded by saying, "Stay tuned, honey," which has sparked speculation. Of course, she's under the 30-day no complete clause, and then after that, she can wrestle again. So, and that's an interesting thing, is that I think that, you know, and as Tragic Comedy says here, fitness and physique are part of the job description, period, which is true. But the fans, that's the, you know, it's horrible. If the trainers were shaming her, then that's not right. But the fans, I just cannot understand a fan's perspective of looking at that woman and going, there is something wrong with her body.
No.
Wait, who said this? So I'm looking at like recent pictures.
Yeah.
Who the fuck is saying this? She's a 10 out of 10. Like even by the, like the most grimy, you know, ego, you know, holy shit.
Here you go.
Jesus, what are you, your fucking minds?
Yeah. Yeah.
Good God almighty. Sign me up for the OnlyFans.
Now, here's the thing no one's talking about, and we don't have inside information or anything, but one of your top main roster guys now being positioned is Bron Breakker, and that's her ex. So if there is any heat there for whatever reason, and hopefully there's not, hopefully this had nothing to do with it, but there is more inner locker room activity between wrestlers now than there ever has been. And that can be a factor.
Yeah, it's legit though. I don't want to think that there's, you know, ulterior motives at play, but it wouldn't surprise me at all. You know, it and to tie that in, I think that one big reason that Gigi Dolin is tailor-made for TNA is, I mean, Zach is already there, you know?
Right.
So that makes all the sense in the world. And some of these names, like you mentioned Riley Osborne earlier,
right.
He is married to the former Blair Davenport, who was an earlier cut from earlier this year.
Right.
So, you know, obviously they can now pursue things together as a couple, but again, it just corroborates what you said. There are more inner locker room relationships than there ever has been in WWE and in all of pro wrestling.
Right. And you know, you just said TNA, and one of the things that we saw this week on TNA is that Robert Stone showed up as now the guy overwatching Santino, because Santino has been making decisions that apparently the higher ups do not appreciate. And along with a person who's getting a title shot, which is Foxy. Amazingly enough, to see Foxy out there. So, you know, again, the blend between the two companies, the honest answer is, if WWE is saving X amount of money by releasing so-and-so, Indy Hartwell is the latest example of someone who, you know, probably got a livable contract through TNA, and at any point they know what she can do and they can use her at NXT. So, you know, it makes a lot of sense. Here's the
Shotzi, I was gonna say where's Shotzi Blackwell go?
Yeah, Shotzi probably
Shotzi goes TNA for sure,
or AEW. I mean, you know, depends on what Tony wants to throw. These are the only two women left from this class.
Damn.
Yep. So you got Zoe and you got JC. So, and that's interesting. You know, and again, you know, there are other factors. Why cut Shayna Baszler and not Zoe Stark, right? Probably salary has something to do with it, but also, sometimes it comes down to likability in the locker room. And Zoe is a very well-respected and liked person, has been since she's gotten there. And knowing her personally, she's a wonderful human being. So it makes sense that, you know, not that saying that Shayna is, you know, this, that, or the other. It's just that if you're looking at contracts and you know, you're wondering, you know, hey, who should we cut? And Nick Khan is like, you know, this is what we need. This is what you guys have to look at. That's probably what you get. Here's the other guy. So Braun Strowman. Okay. Days before WrestleMania 41, Braun Strowman approached Paul Heyman in tears, frustrated because he wasn't on the event's card. Paul, being blunt, told him, you're not on the card because you're simply not good enough. It was revealed by Heyman on the post-WrestleMania 41 episode of the Pat McAfee Show. All right. So, and I've seen some people talking about poor Braun, and, you know, here's the problem.
He's fine. He's on a jet ski. Did you see the video?
Yeah, he'll be fine.
Yeah, and here's the problem. Someone mentioned, well, he should have been a monster heel. And then he was a monster heel at a point. Yeah. He's done almost everything that you could possibly do with the guy. Someone said, well, this certain thing, you know, worked for Big Show because Big Show was a heel, a monster heel, and blah, blah, blah. But what people forget is that Big Show has personnel. Big Show spent, you know, that one summer of coming out as Hulk Hogan and coming out as other wrestlers, right? Big Show was in the first months of his signing. He got pushed as a monster, lost to Austin within the first 4 weeks, and then became part of the group who were the union, who were carrying around 2x4s and trying to. So the thing with a guy like that is the personality overshadows everything else. He is vital in different areas because he can be the badass. He can be the goofy guy. He can be whatever you need him to play. Braun proved that he's not that style for this company. Let's give him two opportunities to do it. They didn't even consider putting him with the Wyatt Six, it looks like, right?
That was surprising. That would have been easy to do. Would have been simple. They did the best he ever was catch these hands. That was his only gimmick that stuck. And for a while, they tried the big son of a bitch. Nobody cares. His mic skills are not there. Now, he did help.
Which is exactly why he needs to go to Japan.
Right. And he did help put people over. He did help solidify Jacob Fatu.
Absolutely.
A lot of guys.
And Bronson Reed. And that's exactly what his strength was. But the problem with being such a guy so big, for instance, you can't go to AEW with him because there's no concept of what to do with the big guys. You can't really go to TNA because you can go to TNA, but it would be a short period of time before it's like, well, this guy just should realistically just be kicking everyone's ass. That happened with Morrissey, right? You had to get Big Bill, you know, had to go somewhere else because you can only be there so long. The WWE, the difference is that you're under contract for 3-4 years. You have to, you know, be put into different positions to find that niche. And yeah, get these hands. That worked. That was fine. But again, if you look at him, he's not a guy who is dripping charisma. And I think that, you know, that's a fact. And now Japan, I agree. Man, he would be a monster. He would be a monster.
No, absolutely. I don't know what you could do with him in AEW. He would end up, and I'm not being facetious, he would end up on the Don Callis family. They would have him as another heavy. You put him over there with Lance Archer and you make a trios out of him.
Rob, you know that somebody listens to the show. Don't even put that out into the ether because now we're going to fucking get that shit.
Steve, you just came up with his slogan over there. Instead of getting hands, get that shit. Get this shit.
And somebody was writing that he could revitalize the Dark Order. And he could be.
Oh, God.
Oh, geez.
That was been floating around online that you have him as a replacement for Brody.
Send him to Japan. Seriously, New Japan, crack open the fucking wallet and sign him for a big contract.
You just made the biggest point. Brody Lee proved charisma. Yeah, Braun Strowman gets put in that position. He fucking fails, and it becomes a wet fart in church.
We're gonna make this order dark.
Now get this shit. Okay, so now this is a rumored, apparent roster of confirmed people that are signed under WWE's AAA banner, including Alberto Del Rio, Vikingo, La Parca, Lady Maravilla, Nino Hamburguesa.
No, excuse Hamburguesa. Me. Nino Hamburguesa. Nino Hamburguesa.
Hamburguesa.
I don't know. What do you think about these guys, Mr. President?
First of all, put the names back up. We've got Alberto Al Patron Del Rio de Page. We like him when he's not drinking and banging filthy British women. So sad. El Hino de Dr. Wagner. We don't know who that is. I guess it's some German guy who escaped to South America. What's with all these Hino Dells? Okay, just say you're fucking Vikingo. Why can't you just say you're Vikingo MS13, okay? Why can't they just say that? La Parca, what is that? When you're going on Mount Everest, you need La Parca? La Hydra. Hydra. Hail Hydra. Don't know who that is. Hail Hydra. Lady Flammer, that sounds like one of those LGBTQXYZers. Okay, is that supposed to be, I don't even know, is that Lady Kiss? Sunny Flamer? I don't know. Lady Maravilla, it sounds like a snack cake. And then Little Cheeseburger. We like Little Cheeseburger. I like Little Cheeseburgers. I got lots of Little Cheeseburgers. This is going to be some of the very best people who's ever crossed the border. You know, and legally, excuse me, very important, legally cross the border, okay? We're letting them in on a temporary visa. It's called a light green visa, okay? And then maybe they could get their golden ticket for billions and billions of pesos. They could get a golden ticket.
Steve, are any of those names, you know, like, again, I'm assuming that AAA runs, you know, separately. You're going to have a few crossovers.
I'm running my own faction. It's called Quadruple A. Okay, it's an extra A. We do extra A's.
Steve.
So, yeah, as far as...
Cuatro A.
All I know is everybody that got all bent out of shape about flippy shit in AEW. I know that those same people are going to lose their minds when they see Vikingo do the things that he does in a WWE ring. I'm saying it, WWE ring, not necessarily AAA, but Literally he's going to catch the attention and they're going to fast track him onto the main roster of WWE as soon as possible. The dude is great.
Yeah, depending on how the contracts are written, too. That's the other thing.
The dude's great. So, I mean, realistically, the same people that were ranting about flippy shit in AEW when he was doing the 630s and, you know, the gravity-defying moves that he was doing, when he does those same exact things, they're going to love it. And it's just going to be extremely funny to see that shit.
Yeah, but if you give me an entrance like Penta has or Phoenix has... And you give me that personality. That's the one thing that we never saw, right? So it isn't necessarily the wrestling. It was the personalities behind them, right?
Ah, okay. Shift those goalposts.
No, but remember.
Shift them because that's what's happening. But regardless, if we can all just agree that professional wrestling is a great art form, then that's really what it's all about, man.
Here's my question.
Yes, absolutely.
Scoop is a wonderful human too, is what Scoop says. Yes, agreed.
You've got people who are not active right now. Bronson Reed on injury, one such example. How great is he? How charismatic is he? If you take away the tsunamis, How far can you go with him? I just use that as an example. There's other people that are better or worse, this, that.
Yeah, but have you seen? So here's the thing. If you look back to Bronson Reed pre what he was doing before the buildup of this character, there was very little. He got released. When he went to TNA, you started to see just a little bit of shine, right? When he comes back, now you're seeing a little more. They're giving him a little more personality. The problem with today's wrestling, in all honesty, is that they refuse to find and develop good managers. Bronson Reed would benefit from a Kiwi manager, you know, an Australian manager. Absolutely. I don't know, Garrison Waller, maybe, you know, end his wrestling career and put him as manager of Bronson Reed. That would be fucking fantastic.
No, what he needs is Stokely Hathaway.
Yeah, what you need is a good kick in the nuts, too. In the Stokelys. I'll kick you half away. Hey, remember that idiot asshole I was talking about before, Dave Meltzer? You know, he just awarded DIY versus MCMG versus Street Profits, the match they had at SmackDown, a 5-fucking-star rating, the first ever 5-star match in SmackDown history. And it was a ladder match that if it was on WrestleMania, Dave would have gave a fucking star and a half.
No, that match should have been on WrestleMania. They fucking slaughtered.
Those guys crushed it.
They crushed it.
It's not a note. It's not a rip on them and the quality.
It's a rip on Meltzer.
It's a rip on that asshole for fucking in 20 years. There hasn't been a single match.
Yeah. Speaking of tag matches.
I agree. That's bullshit.
Does Michael Cole know who the current tag team is? Because he seems to think it's the War Raiders. Because he keeps saying that over and over again, that the War Raiders wrestled last week and retained their belts from... He said that today. And he said that last week, too, that the War Raiders were having a title match. Listen to it today. He does say that. He completely forgets that the New Day has the belt.
I was going to say, didn't the New Day fucking...
They do. But if you listen to Michael Cole at the beginning... He goes, oh, and the War Raiders had a match last week where they retained their belt. He says it, and he said it last week too. I'm gonna be very certain on that one. Just like ring up tag teams, and I'm like, how did nobody notice that?
I don't know. We'll probably have to go back and give it a watch. From Paul Heyman, he said, Solo Sikoa has been impressive and the most improved star in WWE right now. I think Solo Sikoa was the single most improved performer in WWE from WrestleMania 40 up until right now. I'm so proud of what he accomplished in that time. I would dare say that if you look back a few years from now at the year that he had and carrying that side of SmackDown, and it wasn't only the most improved performer the past year, that he is perhaps in 1 year span the most improved performer over 1 year span ever. He went from being a stoic mute to being someone who can carry his end of the microphone against anybody that he wanted to, including me, including Roman Reigns, and anybody that stepped up against him on the microphone. So Sikoa held his own. He delivered in the ring. He delivered on the mic. He carried SmackDown from an antagonist position on the mic. Even after I was gone, he still carried his end of it, and that held his own against Roman on the mic as well. That's huge praise.
It's huge praise. It's a bit hyperbolic, though. No one can touch Kurt Angle's rookie year for me. Like, Kurt Angle's rookie year was top tier. Solo had a great year period, but what I'm saying is that 1 year for Kurt Angle when he first got in, for me, that just
But Paul is saying the most improved. Not so Kurt, literally, it was
part of that quote was the best year.
No. He said,
but yeah, as far as improved,
I would have said
that he's the most improved performer the past year, that he is perhaps in a 1 year span the most improved performer over a 1 year span ever. Yeah, so I agree with you.
I could take that.
Debut year was amazing.
I could take that. Yeah, that's
I guess if you're saying improvement, But then I watched Jacob Fatu, who came out the gate screaming on the mic, in the ring. He completely dwarfed Solo Sikoa and made Solo Sikoa look like a freaking enhancement talent.
Rookie year.
But so far, when Solo Sikoa comes out, do you want to throw a belt on him? No. When Jacob Fatu comes out, you want to throw a belt on him. He's not hiding the fact that he's a heel, and he's still freaking over with the crowd.
But that's not the point Heyman was making.
No, yeah, I remember. Solo Sikoa from being nothing to something, Solo Sikoa is still he's improved. Is he as good as the other members of his family? No, I'm not thinking of Solo Sikoa right now. I'm thinking of Jimmy. I want to see what Jimmy could do if you give him some rope, if you give him some leverage. I want to see him more than Solo Sikoa.
Jimmy's also almost a 20-year veteran.
Right. Wait a minute now. I could see the I get the answer. How long did it take for Jay to get the rub? How long did it take for Jay to be in the position he's in now? And you're going to tell me that Jimmy is not worth the investment when his twin brother, that could have gone either way. One injury could have flipped it the other way, and you could have Jimmy doing all this shit. So I'd like to see now. I don't want to see Jimmy cutting backstage fucking little mini interviews. I'd like to see Jimmy get a push. I do. I want to see Jimmy.
I can't wait to see Jimmy headline WrestleMania 42 and see all the fucking backlash and hate, because you just saw what Jay got. Jimmy will get three times as much. He doesn't belong there.
Who hated on Jay at his WrestleMania performance?
The whole internet.
A lot of people. A lot of people were up in arms that he was being featured so prominently. Yeah. Before the event.
Right.
I was sitting. Now, again, my attitude on this comes from me being in the stands there. Not a single person was bitching before, during, or after that match.
Of course not.
So that's why I'm like, what?
Yeah, we're talking about the most vitriolic fucking segment of the population, the IWC.
Right.
Exactly. The internet wrestling community.
Yeah, so fuck that.
Speaking of the internet wrestling community, I found this amusing. This from Wrestle Tales. WWE had a great thing going from 2021 to 24. Great crowds, fan investment, popularity. Now they're self-sabotaging again with egos and corporate greed, insane ticket prices, phony booking, refusing to hear criticism, breaking kayfabe. It's sadly inevitable. Well, that's a bunch of horse shit nicely put out there. Thank you, Wrestle Whale Wars. Or whatever the fuck you are. Oh, Wrestle Tales.
But here's my thing, and real simple. If for whatever the reason, whether it was from injury or being lazy or whatever the hell we got, why we got that ending from WrestleMania 41 that we did, that dog shit ending, would we be having this conversation? No. If the ending of 41 wasn't dog shit, everything changes and everyone goes, we're on the right track.
We'd still have this conversation because this is the type of thing we just said, the visceral hate. It's no matter what it is, The Rock comes out, then it becomes, The Rock stole John Cena's moment. They find every fucking avenue to criticize. But the funniest part of this, breaking kayfabe. What year are we in? Does anyone?
But I'm in complete agreement of that. I'm sick of that. I'm sick of this idea that we have to constantly break the fourth wall and go behind the scenes and do a show where we talk about how the writing is. I don't give a fuck. Stop that. Stop don't that. Watch. Stop don't it. Watch. Stop it.
Don't watch.
Stop it. Okay.
I mean, I don't, if Saturday Night Live puts out the writer's room shit, dude, I watch it, right?
I don't. I'm not that kind of fan. I don't want to see how
that kind of level, right?
I don't want it.
Enjoy it. Learn.
I don't know, but that's the whole point. You're not learning. If you think that's what the fans need to see, then you're not learning. Part of the program is the storyline. I don't want to see you in a writer's room writing the storyline. Sorry, Dwayne, I don't want that. You have to keep that mysticism. This isn't a fucking Deadpool where he has to go, I just did a story break within a break within a break and a wall break within a wall break. Stop it. Stop it. Stop it. Do the goddamn story.
That movie sucks.
Yeah. But it works because it's a comic book. I want to see
what is wrestling? It's a fucking comic book.
Right, so I don't, yeah, and it's and in the comic book they don't do a fourth wall break. They did it in a movie because they why? Because all the other movies leading up are shit. How long did it take to put Wolverine in a fucking yellow costume? Just do it the right way. Do it the right way. I say this again because it needs to be said because people forget that this is a work, so make it a work. If you tell me that you're going to be a critical part of a storyline and then you don't contribute to your own storyline, of course people are pissed off. Of course they don't want to see a behind-the-scenes show. Do your job. Your job is to write a story. If you don't want to be in the story, don't be in the story. Don't do these things. Don't do it. I'm not bending from this. I'm not breaking from this. I'm a mark. Oh, God.
I have a Rock action figure. Can you show me on the figure where he touched you?
No, hey, look, he touched me in my wallet. I'll show you exactly where he touched me. He touched me in my fucking wallet, you fuck. Because guess what? 25 would have got me. 2,500 5 years ago, pre-pandemic, would have had me fucking ringside with a folding chair. That's where you touched me, you fuck. So if you don't show up, since you were the guy who was told by Ari, I need to do Ari a favor. Okay, so this is why there are people hating now. If you have shit like that go down, it's going to add fuel to that fire. Yes, there will be people complaining. It happens in Star Trek. It happens in Star Wars. It happens in anything to do with there's a fictional element by which you are creating fictional characters that people become emotionally attached to. William Shatner, like the
President of the United States.
Right. Well, yeah.
Yeah,
because in a way he's almost a fictional character the way he. But William Shatner once said, "I do not understand why people show up every year to a convention to dress up like me." Okay, yeah. It makes no goddamn sense. These characters have become mythical, and once they get into the area of mythical, then you have to write them a certain way. You have to understand what you have in your hands. So when they make mistakes, of course these people are going to complain. Now Meltzer's a shill. He's just the cool kid who's no longer the cool kid. You know, I get that.
He's ever the cool kid.
Right. But in every wrestling documentary, Meltzer is prominently displayed in every fucking wrestling documentary.
Everyone just go to Dave Meltzer. He'll say shit.
All right. And they also go to all the guys who are on WC. They go to the Vince Russos and they all these guys because people still want to hear what their perspective is. They go to the Jim Cornette.
Speaking of perspective, I like this where this is going and writing. Steve, I'm going to get your take on this before I say anything. This comes from our friend Tony over in Jacksonville. As a matchmaker, he's referring here to Ricochet. I put him in situations where he would not only be able to showcase that Ricochet is one of the greatest wrestlers on the planet, which he is, but also knowing that if you're going to put a guy in his final matches in the Continental Classic in the Hammerstein Saturday night against Will Ospreay, and then Sunday night on the Christmas episode against Darby Allin, those are the two most popular stars with young fans that you could possibly put him in with. I was very cognizant of how this was going to play out, and I thought it'd be very smart to lean into it. He certainly really leaned into it and has found himself. And he's building one of the best characters, I think, in wrestling, which is the villain. Ricochet that we see on TV right now, he's one of the most compelling and interesting people in wrestling, in my personal opinion. You ask wrestling fans all over the world to name a top 20, and if you asked a million fans, you'd probably get 999,999,000,000 different top 20s. Okay, Steve. Granted, Ricochet has had a very good run and is trying to find a character. Did Tony just take credit for Ricochet? Like, he didn't do any of this on his own.
I hate posts like that. I hate the allusion to, you know, writers putting people in certain situations and things like that. It part of me just cringes with it, because at the end of the day, yes, a writer has to be somebody to put somebody in that situation, but you still have to have somebody to execute it. Like what Rob had mentioned earlier. I just don't even want to talk about that shit, because that's kind of looking at the recipe of the sauce, you know, and trying to pick out, oh, well, this is this and that is that. Fuck that. Just enjoy what you got, because yes, Ricochet is one of the better heels in pro wrestling right now, whether you want to admit it or not. He is doing the best character work in his entire career right now.
You just gave me an idea what I would love to see them do with him, if at all possible. I don't know that they would go this way, but it would be interesting. What if in his quest to become part of the Hurt Syndicate, Ricochet just beats the crap out of MJF and he gets the slot?
So that's the thing is, you know, I it almost feels like as if that ship has kind of sailed, but you know, I definitely see there being some sort of a twist with the MJF Hurt Business thing. I think that essentially MJF could attempt to hurt somebody and that person ends up laying him out and then joins up with the Hurt Syndicate.
That would be amazing.
Whether that's Ricochet or, you know, whoever they choose to put in that spot. But realistically, I think that, you know, with Ricochet, if anything, he's been teaming with the Elite the last 2 weeks. And speaking of this week, he's in a trios match again with the Bucks. So it's almost like he's a de facto, like, honorary member of Elite member. Yeah, and I don't know if they're going to, you know, continue to work that, you know, that relationship, but it's definitely interesting.
They have chemistry.
They definitely do. Yeah,
when they absolutely. When Nick and Matt draped their hair over his bald head and the crowd is laughing his ass off, and you could see he's enjoying himself, that's exactly what I'm talking about. Yeah.
You could tell that they were all having fun.
Yeah, we learned at a local show, wait a minute, fucking Trevor's funny. In the ring, this dude is funny, you know? Well, let's use that. Oh, look at that. It transcends the ring.
But here's your problem, once again. This is the whole Cena character right now. If you do things that the fans appreciate and you're a villain, the villain goes away and now you're a fan favorite. And you've just killed your whole investment into the character.
What is Jacob Fatu right now?
Jacob Fatu is absolutely a killer, right? Yeah. But that's it. He's a killer. At some point, you flip the switch, yeah, and he becomes a fan favorite. He's on his way, but he's not playing a villain. He's just a killer. He's just himself.
That'll happen when he gets fucked out of the title.
And also
and then he'll become a babyface, and that'll just launch the springboard for him.
Solo,
I completely agree. Everybody wants to cheer for a badass motherfucker. No matter who it is, you know, whatever promotion it is. That's why the Hurt Syndicate organically became babyfaces.
Right.
People want to cheer for badasses.
Even though they still try to be the fucking heels.
But the thing is, they're not right now. I'm worried about them because they're not doing anything right now. While they're having this MJF feud, they're just three guys in suits talking.
They're pausing until All In.
Right.
Realistically, they're treading water until All In.
Now with the names of people,
they're bringing Braun Strowman.
Oh, Jesus.
With the names
of guys who were released.
There's one name that was not on the list gladly. Obviously, he has longer in his contract, him and his wife. Karrion Kross, he cut an amazing promo. Maybe it was a shoot. Why the fuck is he not on the camera more?
So you can tell that the gears are starting to turn with Kross. And it looks like as if they're going to finally getting behind him.
Waiting for? This guy has said verbatim, I'm ready. Have him in a feud with AJ Styles.
We're starting to see that. Why do you think he had that opportunity to cut that promo?
Right.
Basically, they kind of gave him that on a silver platter and said, okay, prove yourself and dude went out there and hit a fucking massive home run.
Now, wait a minute. I took a piss break while watching Raw tonight. Did he happen to show up while I was taking my piss break? Because I didn't see him tonight.
Doesn't matter.
I haven't watched Raw yet.
Yeah, and it doesn't matter. Again, it doesn't matter. You don't have to see these guys constantly, and that's the thing. Just let it play. Let it play. You'll either be extremely happy or you'll fucking hate it. That's wrestling. But it takes a little time. Now, in the meantime, while you're waiting, like,
can I go on be part of the IWC and start complaining?
Of course.
Of course, yeah. And now, in the meantime, while you're waiting, you can, for $99 a month, you can go and join Mercedes Moné's very own private fan hotline. This service promises the following: one-on-one conversation with Mercedes Moné via an exclusive number only available to super fans, exclusive behind-the-scenes access, direct text message interactions, and private Q&A sessions. All this for $99 a month.
$9.99 a month is too much for them.
Well, here's the funny thing. Okay. So knowing how OnlyFans works, knowing a number of people in the business, the honest answer is that a lot of the fan sites, the OnlyFans sites, are run in terms of the interactions with fans by ghostwriters, essentially, right? I don't think this will be any different. Occasionally, Mercedes will probably record a message or choose one lucky fan to actually talk to, you know, keep that word spreading that she actually does talk to people.
This is Mike Moné, and I want to tell you that Mercedes is hot for you. It's going to be money, money, money. She's getting oiled up and hot and bothered to tell you about all of the sexy things and places she will be. To continue hearing this message, please insert another $99.99 right now. We take Apple Pay.
When I think of all the most pretentious people in this fucking business, that chick is just up there with her own fucking ego, and they're just like making out right in public and just like fucking sucking each other's own titties. You know, come on, Steve, you've thought about it.
This is a home pregnancy care kit that she used a few years ago when she got a scare on the set of The Mandalorian, and you could have that for the low price of $99.99. plus shipping and handling.
Yeah, fun. I just, you know, we just had to look at that. And
here was a Lee Press-On nail that Mercedes Moné peeled off 2 weeks ago. $99.99, and it could be yours.
Hey, breaking news.
I will say this just really quick, to put a bow on that last thing. We can laugh about it. We can joke about it. We can do whatever we want. But the fact is, there will be people that will pay that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
There will be
women fighting hundreds
of people that pay for that. Dude, so she will be, I guarantee she'll be making at least, what, 10,000 bucks a month just off of that?
Yeah.
Guaranteed.
Yeah, I mean, dude, Rob makes 30 bucks off a cameo every fucking month, so.
Here is a test swatch from a pap smear she had in 2021. It can be yours for $99.99.
Breaking news. The Righteous, Vincent and Dutch, have departed AEW Ring of Honor, and it is confirmed by PW Insider.
Maybe they can go join Elijah in TNA. Considering he was with them for literally one vignette.
That's all they ever contributed to wrestling.
The finger snap, man. The finger snap. TNA officials informed the locker room today, going forth, excessive blood and bleeding will not be permissible by the promotion. The edict was made official earlier today during a talent meeting. In the case of hardway blood or something like bloody nose or mouth, the blood will be allowed. It was noted that it's understandable that sometimes blood will be a result of a contact in the ring, but purposeful heavy bloodletting is a thing of the past on promotion. Decision was made in order to protect the health of the talent as well as keeping the current and potential advertisers and partners in mind. Well, they did it. Sammy and fucking Mace did it.
Daddy TKO's knocking, man. They got to make sure everything's in line for that purchase. Coming soon in less than 6 months.
Well,
I do the over under every week on this show, but realistically, I would say at least 6 to 8 months, and we're going to hear about WWE purchasing TNA.
Yep,
quite possibly. Quite possibly.
Now, when it regards to blood, though, I have something to say about that. Mercedes Moné has excessive blood once a month, and her tampons can be yours for $99.99. Okay, this is the ghost of Don West talking. You want to be the first one to get the Mercedes Moné's used tampons, $99.99, with the AEW logo on it. Okay, they'll print it on there, and it smells fresh in the original wrapper, placed back in there, because we care about you. NFRB, not removed from box, but taken out of her box, $99.99, and you can get your hands on it right now.
And this just in. Her lips were just stapled to the door. And we're not talking about her lips. We're talking
Sammy Callahan stapled her chooch to the door and then smacked it loose with a chair. A lot of blood. TKO doesn't like it. They don't want it because she's eventually going to be bought out by the WWE contractors. And we cannot have her bleeding out on stage. Behind stage, ask China. You can bleed wherever you want.
Okay, so Hulk Hogan and Eric Bischoff appeared on Fox and Friends early this morning to promote his new venture, Real American Freestyle Wrestling. Hogan has set extremely high goals for the league, stating, "Our goal is to be competitive with Dana White in the UFC or the WWE. It's to be just as big or bigger because this is an unserved market." He touted coach Izzy Martinez as key to signing up freestyle talent for the league, which launches August 30th. Over and under, Steve, on failure?
I mean, give it less than 1 year. Because you're going to have a couple of shows where people will still tune in. I mean, lest we remind you, people actually bought Heroes of Wrestling back in the day. So true. People actually paid to watch that bullshit. So they're going to pay to watch
2 years.
RAF. Oh, you said 2 years?
Okay.
They'll give it the 1 year, and then it'll extend it. It'll go beyond 1 year. It won't make it.
The problem is that it's freestyle wrestling, and if it's not scripted, then
it's all shoot, right? Or are they going to attempt to script?
I don't know. My problem is if you don't script it, then you have, let's say, the most charismatic, great character who can't win a fucking match because he can't wrestle. So
exactly,
what do you do? It's they could blood sport. Wait a minute,
are we talking about
Enzo? That's what I'm thinking. I mean, when I saw that interview, I thought the very first thing that came into my mind was blood sport and how they're able to, you know, to script faux MMA matches. But you know, if they do have it just be completely shoot. Have fun.
Speaking of Bloodsport, we're going to have Mercedes Moné fight Thunderstorm, Thunder Tits, and it's starting to sound like Trump. And we're going to have their used ring gear, their panties for $99.99. Okay.
Oh boy. Speaking of the transitioning, 16 years is a long time to work. Happy retirement to me. I'll let the waves take me to my next destination. Can I wait in your water until I catch your wave? From Jeff Cobb. Jeff Cobb's retirement. Anyone buy that?
I don't think he's going to go by Jeff Cobb in WWE. So, yes, Jeff Cobb is retiring. He's going to have a different fucking name.
Yeah.
To Molinahana, and he's part of the bloodline.
Well, I mean, they're bringing in Taller Tonga. What about White Tonga?
Tala Tonga. He could be shorter.
No, Hikuleu is Tala Tonga. I'm saying, what is he going to be? What, Waiata Tonga?
No, I like shorter Tonga and taller Tonga. Put them together as a tag team.
Smaller Tonga.
You know what? We're going to make Donald Trump the new consigliere of the bloodline. Thick Tonga, okay? I'm the thickest Tonga, okay? I'm thicker Tonga, all right? Huge Tonga. I like that one too. Huge thicker Tonga. Huge dick Tonga. We're working on the names. We're shopping out the names for Jeff Cobb. Jeff Tonga. Jala Tonga.
Well, with that being said. All right, Steve, give us an over and under for AEW this week.
So actually this week, I think that we are going to get we are getting very close to Double or Nothing. That's actually going to be, as it sits right now, we are just shy, just over 3 weeks away from Double or Nothing. So yeah, we're going to start to see matches. We're going to start to, you know, get the card at least filled out. So I think that what they're going to do is they're actually going to have mostly everything set over the next 2 weeks. But this week specifically, I think that they're actually going to make three matches for Double or Nothing and actually start to heat up that show, because they've had a couple of weeks where it's just been kind of this strange malaise where they've furthered a few things here and there. But, you know, give me the laser focused shows. Collision this week was actually very, very good. In terms of
entering. Too bad some of us didn't see it, because I don't know, the DVR recorders don't change over when they put it on a different night.
Exactly. Or in this case, on a different network. So Speaking of next week, AEW Dynamite obviously is going to be Wednesday, May 7th, but Collision will be Thursday, May 8th. And both shows will be on TBS and Max. So if you're not watching it on Max, which I highly recommend doing, the sound quality is better. The video quality is better. Just save yourself some time. And if you have the capability, watch it on Max. It's a much better experience. But yeah, if you're still going in and programming the DVR, yeah, just be advised. It's going to be on TBS this week. Collision will anyway. And both shows, yeah, Wednesday and Thursday.
All right, Mr. President, pontificate this week.
You know, they release so many beautiful women, and I'd like to release all over Katie Carter and Cora Jade. I want to get in her jades. I want to get in her cores. So many wonderful women. Then they release Shayna Baszler. She's a dyke. We don't care about that one, okay? That would be sandpaper.
Mr. President.
Shayna Baszler is a bisexual. Excuse me. You know, I did you a favor letting you host this show. I gave you your big job because nobody knows who you are. Okay. And it said, and on her knuckles, on one hand, it says DYKE. It says DYKE. And on the other one, it says MS14. It says MS14. Okay. That's the ladies' auxiliary division of the MS-13. By rights, we should be deporting her, okay? All right? It says MS-14-DYKE, okay? Okay, why can't you just say she's a dyke? Why can't you just say it, okay? That she doesn't run, they don't, it's not fish tacos, okay? It's a desert. It's a desert down there, all right? Why can't you just be honest? Liberal, you know, if you were honest, if you were real, journalist. In fact, they tell me your name isn't even Michaels. You know, if you were real, since he doesn't like kayfabe. This guy doesn't like stories. It's got to be real all the time. Okay. Okay. It's got to be real all the time. Is that what we're doing? We're doing real. So why can't you be real that she's a dyke? Okay. Just say she's a dyke. Okay. All right. Just say that she didn't want to suck off Triple H when we gave her so many opportunities. We said, all you have to do is give Paul sloppy toppy, okay? Just give Paul the sloppy toppy. She goes, I don't know what to do with it, all right? Don't know what to do with it. I said, fine, okay. Miss Dyke, little Miss Shayna Dyke, okay? go over there and eat Stephanie out. And she goes, nope. Don't watch sloppy seconds from Paul. Wouldn't do it. Wouldn't play ball. We gave her so many opportunities. So many opportunities. And now she suddenly has an MS-14 tattoo. And she's going to El Salvador, okay? No salvation in El Salvador, okay? And to the Supreme Court, no. You want to go get her? Go get her. Go get her. You want to see her on TNA next week? Okay? You want to see her beating up Rosemary? Okay, I'm sure she's beaten up Rosemary many times. Believe me. Okay, that's what you call a dark. That's a goth dyke. Okay, Rosemary's a goth dyke. Okay, she's one of the greatest goth dykes. All right, nothing but venom coming out of that. Okay, she squirts venom. All right, Rosemary squirts venom. That's why she's not on the main roster. Okay, believe me. This guy over here, this one right up here. Okay, this one, the bald one, won't tell you the truth. Okay, he's the second coming of Dave Meltzer. We're gonna call him Dave Peltzer. Okay, Dave Peltzer.
Wow, that's for Mr. Peltzer. So speaking of hot chicks, here we go. A little Liv Morgan and a little.
Did you really need to do like a Photoshop picture of her? That face looks so Photoshop. I don't know on the Liv Morgan picture. I mean, still bang the crap out of it, but still.
Wait, you'd bang the crap out of the picture?
Hey, you know, you just, you know, sure.
Well, there we go. There you go. That's real. Little Chelsea. And
I like
Matt Cardona is a lucky man.
Yep.
Oh, my God, Matt.
And apparently she has re-signed. So apparently her contract was coming up in 2025, and they liked her enough to re-sign her. So that's good. And, of course, a little Mandy. Oh, man.
What was that? You said something?
More of me. I love it. She's amazing. Speaking of, look at that woman looking at Jade.
Yeah. Everyone in the front row.
Yeah. That Shayna Baszler wearing her wig. Okay.
Even that kid decided that, hey, I don't want Legos anymore.
Oh, you can't
look at the fat white. Look at all of them. Yeah. The white guy over there, the fat freaking slob over there. He's digging it. Okay. He's ready to cross the island into relevancy. He's looking for some chocolate syrup in his milk.
You can't see that kid, but that's that kid's first major boner in public. Look at that.
He wants to give her the smackdown.
Speaking of, I love this photo that you have the Rock and Roll Express and Trevor there, and they're in front of the fucking truck with Miro and goddamn Saraya. If it's the WWE, that truck, the fucking thing has changed within 24 hours of the talent gone.
Yeah, how quickly did they peel Enzo off?
Well, Enzo pulled himself off the truck because they kicked him off. You know, the debate about 100 gorillas versus man, the better debate would be, could 100 gorillas beat up Paul Orndorff? There you go, Paul. And speaking of legends, there's Paul and Macho King Randy Savage and Rick Rude from back in the day. And here's a little picture for everyone to enjoy. Goldberg, Bret Hart finally making amends, and so are Russo and Cornette. This is like a love fest, man. Just beautiful.
Oh, hey, so scary.
People talk about Ric Flair's title record. John Cena is now 17-time champion, but we all know who the real GOAT is. R-Truth, a 54-time champion. That's right. Don't ever forget that. And from Kevin Owens, dear Seth Rollins, do you also plan on getting an absolutely insane spray tan job to fit in with the rest of your group? Anyway, miss you, Kevin.
Oh my God, Paul Heyman tonight. Like the entire front of his face, he looked like a Duracell battery.
Well, that's why Owens tweeted that out.
Jesus Christ. It was ridiculous. I mean, Trump's like, where can I get a job that good?
Yeah, right. Hey everyone, did anyone let Tony Khan know that there were releases this week? Oh, I think they did. Oh boy. You see him getting that itch. Getting that itch. Speaking of Tony getting that itch, oh boy.
Shit.
Oh boy.
Ow. Jesus Christ.
Oh, you gotta love it.
Did everyone have a good time tonight? I know I did.
You know, and there are so many fans out there who defend Tony, and it's just great to see the AEW fans. Jesus. Hey,
holy shit.
It was May 4th, and we know Darth Dudley, I am your brother, celebrating May 4th. And of course, today is Cinco de Mayo, and happy Cinco de Mayo from El Grande Americano, everybody. All right, Rob, what do you got going on?
Nothing on the immediate horizon. I will tell you, I'll keep you in the loop when I have something super duper big. Other than that, enjoy Revenge of the Sixth tomorrow.
Okay. Are you going to be hanging out with these guys for Revenge of the Sixth?
I don't know. That Jim Cornette looks scary as fuck to me.
That's a Jim Cornette waxed out.
Hey, Rob, you got your Cameo, right?
Yeah.
Fucking plug that shit.
Yes, Cameo. I think
$99 a month.
Exactly.
Comedy on Cameo. So look me up at BOCE Comedy. You can also look me up as Vegas Trump Guy. So if you want me to, and thank you, by the way, I'm not good at the self promotion, and that's gotta fix that. BOCE Comedy on Cameo, $25. You can have Trump. You can have Cat Williams. You can have Obama. If you want me to be Chris Rock, whoever you could think of, if I can do it, I will get back to you, and I will make that shit happen, and you will have that person. I do not – it's not this. You will have Trump or Obama or whomever you can think of with a special message for you and yours. You know what? I got to get the wig. I might be able to pull that off. I'd have to watch the tape. Breaks out the Sharpie. Yeah, why not? You know, I don't know what I'd be sharpieing, but yeah, sure. Let's do it. Let's do it. And find me online at a Vegas Trump Guy. So Facebook, BOCE Comedy, everywhere else, Vegas Trump Guy.
There you go. All right, Steve, how about yourself?
All right. Hey, thank you guys for hanging out with us tonight. Thank you for liking, sharing, subscribing, doing all the stuff that you guys do. We appreciate each and every one of you. Also, very special thank you to all the brave men and women serving this country, whether you're doing it on lands foreign or domestic. Thank you for doing what you do so that we can do what we love to do. And last but not least, repsports.com, repsports.com. Go there for all your pre-workout, weight loss, and general energy needs. Again, repsports.com. Use promo code Vegas at checkout and save yourself 10%.
Yeah, and, you know, this whole show just made me think of one guy that we just – hope is doing all right out there on the corner.
DJ, I'm back in the booth so fine. White fuzzy slippers on the low-key rhyme. Spinning records till the break of dawn. And those slippers, he got it going on. So
we hope he's getting close to paying off those tickets, although I did see the wifey was at a Beyonce concert recently. So
yeah, I don't know. I don't think his kid's going to college, I'll tell you that much.
I don't think he has the kid anymore.
Yeah. Kid's gonna be serving drinks at the next WrestleMania with him. Hey guys, I got into WrestleMania. Yeah, you're serving drinks.
Or well, let's don't forget, it is in New Orleans, so I'm sure that he's going to be flashing his boobs to get tickets for WrestleMania.
And again, every time I run into him, I'll get, what the fuck is wrong with Michaels? Why am I finding out about fuzzy slippers on every damn show?
Fuzzy slippers on the low-key rhyme. Spinning records till the break of dawn. And those slippers, he got it going on. Soft beats and faders never miss. In the booth, he's bringing bliss. White fuzz keeps him on track. Every beat, he's got your back. Oh, DJ, impact, feel the vibe. White fuzzy slippers every time. Groove is smooth, no fuss, no fight. In the lights, feel it right.
You know what? First of all, we talk about doing something too long. He hasn't been on the show for about a half a year. Eventually, people are going to go, who is this? Who is this fucking black? But, like, I feel like this is, like, one of those things we should almost make a whole album. And then, you know, it could just do it like some BET shit. Hey, do you miss DJ Impact? But we miss his impact. And now you can get the family six-pack of CDs. White Fuzzy. That's right. White Fuzzy in your home all day and all night. Bringing you the fuzzy, flaming great songs from DJ Impact and his beautiful White Fuzzy feet.
Well, on that note, thank you everyone for hanging out with us tonight. And
fuzzy slippers.
And if you want to get a pair of white fuzzy slippers, go to IKEA. We are going to work on getting a deal with IKEA for white fuzzy slippers. So we're going to start promoting it now, and hopefully this will pick up. So we appreciate all of you hanging out.
DJ Impact will be working at that IKEA to sign those white fuzzy slippers for you. Just come to the IKEA right off the 215 and Rainbow, and DJ Impact will be there to sign a very own white fuzzy slippers. Just be sure to catch him during his break.
There you go. All right, everyone. That sums it up for this week.
Did any of you have a great time tonight?
Yeah. With that, everybody, thank you for hanging out. We will we'll do it all again next week. Till then, happy wrestling.
Rolling up the strip under neon lights. Podcast mic is glowing in the desert night. Matt and Michael's leading with the swagger tight. Sin City Steve right by his side. All right. Rob Butcher, Larry dropping truths, no fear. Broadcasting stories, make it loud and clear. From the Fremont edges to the Bellagio sphere. These bad boys rule, let me make that clear. Vegas bad boys tearing up the scene.
To Matt Michaels and the Vegas Boys of Podcasting, this is John Cena saying thank you so much.